How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, November 22nd, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
I'm glad to have you here with us. And in the other corner, we have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Kelly.
Glad you are with me. Now, John, I want to start with you and something that's come around recently. We're going to have a kind of a preview of this in Particle Debris. And this is about Apple and testing and software quality and user experience kind of all in one big ball, right?
Yeah, I've been paying attention to the certain readers who have been giving me feedback about their pretty extensive testing with mostly Catalina, some iOS 13 nits. But I've been reading about Catalina and issues and problems and commenting on them recently in some of my articles. And this article at Bloomberg kind of punctuates the situation. And my readers have been having all sorts of fits, especially with mail and installation and inconsistencies. One reader sent me a screenshot of his phone that said, do not back up to iCloud. The setting was off. And then in the Finder setting in Catalina, it said, back up to iCloud. And he wrote me a note and said, you know, okay, Apple, which is it? So, and that's just one of dozens of detailed messages I've been getting from several readers and who have been wrestling with Catalina, even the 15.1. So I have not yet installed it. I've been busy with another project and I'm just kind of waiting for the dust to settle.
Yeah. And even we've heard from Dr. Mac the same sort of thing. Like, I installed Catalina so you don't have to. Don't. Like, and he recently sort of updated that assessment with, yeah, still no.
Yeah, every year there's little issues with the upgrade. In general, the upgrade to Mojave went pretty smoothly for me. A few little things to attend to with permissions. But I'm kind of getting the feeling that the security arrangements in Catalina are so severe that people are having difficulties dealing with the lockdown and permission situation, and the quality control just doesn't seem to be there. One reader sent me a note and said that he downloaded the installer and, like he's normally done in the past, you know, captured it before it was erased and moved it over to another computer and where it proceeded to hang on the install process and would not work. And had a strong suspicion that it's a bad idea to move this installer from machine to machine. It might be checking the environment. I don't know. But something that always used to work for him now just did not work. So I'm just kind of watching and learning and sizing up Catalina. And it seems to be one of the more most problematic updates since Lion.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that, like, here's the thing is that I haven't seen a lot of the angst and the hand-wringing that I have seen about Catalina doesn't have anything to do with 32-bit apps. So that's been sort of good news, I guess, which means it sort of worked to get the word out ahead of time that this was going to happen. You know, we talked about it here. You know, we told everybody to tell two friends, you know, because maybe they'll tell two friends and so on and so on. And it was so, like, at least that part isn't the part that I've seen complaints about. What I've seen complaints about is permission stuff. Or I tried to install it and it got stuck and I came back like 45 minutes later expecting it to be done. And it was, you know, right where I left it and had to do it again, you know, and things like that. So that's been what I've seen about Catalina. Seems like a lot of rough edges. A lot of the complaining I saw about Mojave when people are upgrading to that was the security stuff, because there were a lot of security changes in Mojave, and like I have to give everything permission, or I have to do this weird little permission dance to make sure everything works like it should. But it sort of seems like once everything kind of went through a lap of that, that it wasn't as big a deal.
I agree.
And so, but that was all like not necessarily like a problem. It was just, this is a change. And for some people, they had a little harder time getting that to stick in some cases. I've seen a little bit of that, but overall it was just like, there was this change and this is the thing you have to work on, and not like, this is broken. And what I'm seeing from folks about Catalina is that stuff is just not working because it's broken. Brian, have you had any experience with this?
Nope. It's been fine for me.
Oh, so you do have it. Okay.
Are you using Apple Mail?
Yep.
Are you fine with the loss of the genuine classic layout?
Yes.
You're fine with that?
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a three column layout I'm using. It works just fine.
Is that what you were using before Catalina?
Yes.
For the listeners, okay, you can no longer control the columns and there's no header. It's just, you're stuck. You go back to the classic layout, but there's no labels at the top and you can't control which columns are going to appear. Apple gets to decide. Is that about right, Brian?
Yeah, I suppose. I haven't had any complaints about it. I haven't had any complaints about Catalina. My one issue is a particular 64-bit app that I like. I've got an install of Mojave that I'm keeping around just in case I need to get back into that app, which I haven't needed to do yet.
You mean a 32-bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I have a 32-bit app that I would like to be able to use and cannot, but I've got an install of Mojave waiting for me. If I do, it's been stable for me. The one issue that I'm having that y'all have noticed in the meetings is my audio interface likes to stop working.
Oh, yeah.
Seemingly random, but I had that problem in Mojave too, and I don't think it is... Actually, I have no idea what's causing that particular issue.
But it's the same issue you were having before. And
it is the same issue I've had over the last three main releases of macOS.
I think it's safe to say regarding Catalina that the moniker "It Just Works" is dissipated on us.
Well, I think that moniker is dissipated for almost everything that Apple is doing.
Well, yeah.
Like my Apple TV loves to forget that I want my freaking volume sound going through my HomePods.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I have to reset that all the time. I've got the AirPods Pro, and my right AirPods Pro sometimes just doesn't want to come on.
That's really weird.
No, it just works. You're mistaken. And
maybe you're holding it wrong, Brian.
I could be just holding it wrong. There's a lot, the fit and finish that many of us love so much about Apple is, and the interoperability and the reliability of that interoperability seems to have gone by the wayside. But I haven't had any problems with Catalina.
Some of it, though, like, okay, I'm not using Catalina, full disclosure, what I have noticed for myself is that AirDrop between my phone and my computer is pretty reliable. I used to not use AirDrop. I used another utility that I installed both places to make sure that things could get from one to the other easily and wirelessly, and now I can just use AirDrop and it's fine. I can use AirDrop with other people. Like, if I need to send a picture to Mr. Kelly's laptop or something, that works really well. And I can send pictures to other people and stuff, you know, like, out and about, like, oh, let me get a copy of that photo. You know, I can bounce it over there, no problem. So some stuff has gotten more reliable. I find that my Wi-Fi signal seems to be pretty reliable. I used to have occasionally an issue where my computer would just sort of fall off the network and I'd be like, why aren't you online? And be like, I don't know. And I'd have to sort of kick it, and that's not happening anymore. So I have found like small things that were annoyances that have gotten more reliable. But overall, and I haven't gotten to Catalina yet, but I'm not having the tragedy in iOS either that a lot of people are having. And I would be really curious to dig, aside from what is apparently the tragedy of Apple Mail, regardless of platform anymore, because a lot of people are complaining about Apple Mail as well. I haven't seen a lot of specifics about necessarily what it is in 13 that's causing people difficulty. What I've seen as my own tech support, when my family calls me and says, what happened to this? Or why isn't this working? Is that the biggest change was they all said, I lost Find My Friends and I don't know where it went and I can't find it. And that was the biggest change for a lot of people that I know who use apps and other stuff. You know, have different things installed on their phones. But one thing we were talking about in the meeting before we did the show was that there used to be, we get a new version of the operating system every year because it comes out with the new phones sort of in tandem. And that we've seen, and that we used to get features as dot releases of iOS. We didn't get all the new stuff right at once. So like copy and paste came as a dot release. It wasn't part of a whole new version of iOS. It may have been Phone OS at that point. But when we got copy and paste, it was a dot release. It was like dot 2 or dot 3 or something of that particular version. And there used to be a point where we would get features sort of over time instead of kind of having to push them all out the door at once, regardless of how baked they were.
That's a good point, Kelly. They should only release what they need to support the new phone hardware in September, and then roll out those ironclad features after that.
And, you know, maybe you've got a couple features that are ready out of the gate. You know, like maybe maybe Apple Pay was ready to go that minute, so you send it out, and that's great. I'm just using that as an example. But
Apple thinks that it has to have a whole lot of new features in iOS to get people excited about the phones.
Right.
But I don't think that's true. I think people get excited about the hardware, the cameras, the look, the speed.
I think your assessment is half correct.
Yeah, that's doesn't take into account a lot of things, specifically the fact that a lot of the features that you're talking about are software driven. So they are part of the operating system.
Mm-hmm. But what I think is that you are, I think, John, that you're half correct in that Apple tries to put a lot of hype into the Dotto release that comes out about the same time as the new phones so that people will get it. But if they want people to upgrade, if they want people to keep updating their copy of iOS, you know, if you want to make sure that people are on 13.2 or you want to make sure people are on 13.3 or whatever it is, you need to add more stuff. And, you know, people don't necessarily care about emojis. So, you know, adding a few extra emoji isn't going to be a thing that's going to make a lot of people update. You know, we got the taco, we got the middle finger, like their work here is done. So we need, you know, something better to sort of entice people. And I don't think they need to entice people in September and October. I think they need to be enticing people in like February and April, you know, when people aren't really paying much attention and don't care anymore. And there's not a lot of hype about a new device and about new software yet. So I feel like, and I would be happy to wait for that feature if it means that that feature will work out of the gate. I would be happy with that. I don't need all the features at once if half of them work some of the time and the other half are just straight broken. Like I don't need a disastrous experience. Give me a better experience, you know, after Christmas or something. That I feel like that would be a better approach. And I think it was an article that Dan Morin wrote over at Macworld. Hi Dan.
Hey Dan.
About how like Apple kind of needs to slow their roll and do stuff like this in incremental releases. And I agree with that 100%. So, because I would rather have that better experience all the time. And it's a good way to get regular people to, you know, people who don't do this stuff all the time and actively pay attention, you know, for system updates and stuff to make sure that they're updating as well. Like, did you hear that this new thing, you know, if you update iOS, you get this new thing out of it? Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to go do that now, you know?
You know, that said, I haven't had any trouble with iOS 13. I didn't come in until 13.1, but it was flawless on my iPhone XS Max and my iPads.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anything notable to complain about on. I did the iPads at iOS 13.2. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any problems. I did the upgrade on the phones at 13.1, which is a no-brainer. Maybe it's because I lock down my phone and don't try to stress it too much, but I don't know. Worked for me.
Yeah. Now, Brian, you're on iOS 13 on a few devices, right?
Yeah, my iPads, I was on the developer, actually the public beta release for several months. I haven't had any problems with iOS 13 too. I know that there were definite problems that some people were encountering, and some of those problems were significant. Mm-hmm. I personally didn't encounter those.
Yeah, and I've seen screenshots of people having a really hard time with mail. And I haven't seen that. The bulk of what I do with mail on my phone, though, doesn't happen in Apple's mail app. I have alternate apps for that. But what little time I do spend in Apple mail, I wasn't seeing any of those issues. So I can't get to the bottom of that. And, oh, yeah, it's, you know, this thing or whatever. So I don't have a way to talk about that one effectively, which is a bummer.
I did have I had an issue trying to find. I was trying to do a search for my Costco tire order number.
Uh-huh.
Seemed completely impossible on my iPhone.
It was.
There was just no way whatsoever that I was possibly going to find the email receipt that I received that was going to have my order number in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just a couple of days ago, and I just ended up giving up. So that was a problem.
Somebody, I think Andrew said that when he wrote it up, I think the latest iOS update is supposed to fix search in mail. So maybe it's better now. I don't know. But,
speaking of that, I discovered last night that the search is done differently in iOS 13. You just swipe down between the icons on the home screen.
Yeah.
And you get the search window at the top. It's no longer on the widget page, which is throwing some people for a loop.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was on the widget page, so I was only ever using it by pulling down.
It used to be before iOS 13. Okay. Now you just swipe down between the icons.
John, okay. In the meeting, you were... we shushed you because Kelly hadn't started recording yet. You were pitching that Apple change up the way it releases macOS.
Yeah, I mean, I think after 15 releases, it's high time Apple went to a 2-year release. In the past, they've gone as long as 18 months. I think once it might have approached 2 years, but I remember an 18-month cycle. I don't think it's a bad idea now after 15 updates that Apple do every 2 years on Mac OS. I mean, there's no real need to get people excited like they do about the iPhone in the fall.
Well, and why not part them out, you know?
And I think there needs to be a pre-install app. It's call me wishful, starry-eyed, but I'd like to see Apple develop an AI-based app based on machine learning from lots of experience on different computers that goes and munges around your computer and checks to see if you've moved your photos to an undesirable place, to see if your mail folder is properly constructed and there's no lost links, and just generally do a health and fitness of your Mac before you even try to do the install, because it seems to me like one of the difficulties that Catalina has had is unknown configurations. People get away with things. People kind of, you know, do their own, roll their own dice mm-hmm. on how they're going to construct their environment. And Apple doesn't always plan on that. They seem like they assume that you're going to be a good citizen and everything's going to be where it belongs and you haven't done anything crazy.
And you'd think that Apple would remember that people use their software.
And I think that one of the biggest problems is all the different myriads of different kinds of configurations, and Apple has access to that data through the feedback system in macOS, and they can start collecting information about how people use their machines.
Yeah,
and look at character problems.
I'm sure they do, John.
They do, but I'd like to see an app that kind of does a dry run first and says, "Here's things you should probably fix and attend to before we try to install Catalina." Or the next version of macOS, Death Valley.
Alcatraz.
Well, that would certainly make the jailbreaking community happy.
But 2 years, I think, would take the strain off Apple developers and take the strain off Apple engineers.
Yeah, you know, I've been complaining about Apple not seeming to care about the Mac anymore. And then again, we have this mounting body of evidence that Apple does care about the Mac again. I'm not sure that I want macOS to be playing second fiddle to iOS in that kind of way. I want macOS to be a priority. It like I'd almost rather see all of the releases, like iOS and its various Spawn and macOS go to a 2-year release. But I don't think Apple will do that at this point. I think that they have found tremendous amounts of success with yearly updates to its operating system, to their operating systems, plural, and that they're probably going to continue to do that.
I would like to see both have the same approach, which is you can roll out new features in dot releases. I think I would like to see the same thing on macOS. If you're going to rev that first digit, you know, if it's going to be, if we're going to go from 10.15 to 10.16, you know, or whatever, there's some basic stuff that happens at that point, like some sort of headline things, like there's maybe two or three things that are part of that release. And then .1 brings in this extra thing, or .2 or .3 brings in some extra feature, which again will keep people updating. And
that was part of the Bloomberg article.
I would rather have that.
Yeah, the Bloomberg article mentioned that no more issuing of betas and dot releases that have untested bugs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say I did like. I know it sucked for people who relied on it, but in some of the public betas, there were stuff that popped up and kind of came and went. So like they put it out in a beta and it turned out to be crap, and then they pulled it, and then, you know, maybe it'd pop up another couple releases later in a better form. And I feel like the public beta program is really good for that. And so I would like if that were to continue, because I think the public beta program is a really good idea. You can test this stuff at scale on everybody's, you know, John, like you were talking about, everybody's own personal setup and whatever kind of interesting setup people have, you know, they can try it out and then go, this totally doesn't work on my machine, and, you know, figure it out. So I think the public beta program is more helpful than it is aggravational, because if you're going to be on the public beta program, like, you kind of have to know what you're signing up for. And I like
my sense
that they're doing that.
My sense of the public beta, Kelly, is that people want to get early insights, early access into what's coming out as kind of like a glee factor.
Then get it.
When it comes to the real work of isolating the events that lead up to the bug and documenting it and sending feedback to Apple, I don't think that's happening as often as it needs to.
Yeah, but Apple's getting a lot of mass user data from the public beta efforts and the developer beta efforts.
Yeah, but are they using it effectively? And is it getting into the development cycle in the right kind of way? I have a nagging feeling that not all of it's being properly digested and moved into the workflow of the updates, internal updates.
Well, that's what they're supposedly working on, though, isn't it?
That's what's supposed to be improving now.
And
the public beta program, I don't remember how far back it goes, but it's not like it's the oldest program at Apple, the public betas. So I hope they continue to refine and get better. I think it'll be great. I'm hopeful about it, and I hope that like this Bloomberg article talks about, that there will be more change and that things will improve, because it, you know, part of what we all love about our Apple stuff is that great customer experience. And it's been a little less great in some cases lately. So I hope that it improves. So I think that's going to do it for us today. we keep threatening to have two topics, and today we didn't manage to do it either. So maybe we'll do it again on Monday. I want to thank both of you for being here. Brian, thank you so much for coming by.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
John, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Nice to be here as always.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I hope all of you have a fantastic weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.